By the time the stranger finally heads over to Peter's booth in the back, Peter's been watching him practically all night. The werewolf prides himself on knowing the diner's comings and goings. It's what's kept the Hell Pack alive and in business this long, what keeps their citywide criminal endeavors afloat. He's got a sixth sense when it comes to things that stick out, and the stranger sticks out. In a dim restaurant teeming with rambunctious drunks, overloud post-party friend groups, and frazzled delivery drivers shoving aside vacant chairs on their way out, he hunches quietly over a spread of papers at a window booth. And it's his fifth time here in 2 weeks, always in the earliest hours of the morning, when the brightest light in the place is the neon glow of the Moonrise Diner sign that hangs on the other side of the glass. Erica's the on-duty waitress, and though Peter's seen her cleanly snap a spine without a second thought, she's all good-natured smiles around their mystery kid. Erica shrugs when Peter asks what the stranger is up to. Same stuff as last time, boss. Looks like some other language, but I can't really tell. He's in college, apparently, and you know that isn't my scene. She flips her blonde ponytail over her shoulder, frowning. Why? Should we be worried? Peter grunts, and Erica correctly interprets this both as a no and as a signal to make herself scarce. On her next trip from the kitchen, though, she brings him another coffee, maybe because she knows what he looks like when he's fixating on something. With great effort, Peter funnels his attention back to the cash flow statements laid on the table. At 1:30 in the morning, Derek and Boyd stop by on their way out to patrol, bearing news of a potential protection racket the Argent family stirring up out by the docks. Talia stops by to nag him about his sleeping habits on her way out for the night. When they're all gone, Peter spends another half hour delving into the newspaper to sneer at the latest details of Ennis's parole bid. Through it all, the presence of the stranger distracts him. When the kid's food arrives, he wolfs it down like he hasn't eaten in ages. He glances up to find Peter looking at him, but unlike when their eyes have met in recent nights, he grins before he looks away. Unsettling. A few minutes later, the kid pushes away his empty plate. Peter stopped pretending to work on anything else, instead watching him gather his papers onto a backpack and set a few bills onto the table. Then, instead of heading outside as usual, the guy takes a deep breath and strides towards the back of the restaurant, bypassing both the bar and the bathroom. No one approaches Peter's table. At least no one outside of the pack. Those who know who he is are too smart to be here at all, and they'd be terrified to come close if they were. Everyone else stays away because, as Cora once put it, he gives off a certain vibe. And she's not wrong. Peter knows what he looks like. The attractive cut of his face somehow only highlights the fact that he's a nightmare wrapped in a gray suit. Scowling, terse, and potentially murderous. Now he observes the stranger coolly, his nerves humming with rare interest rather than suspicion. This close, Peter can see light dustings of moles stretching across the guy's face and pale neck. He's lanky, but not in an unattractive way, with amber eyes that glint in the glow of the pendant light over the table. "Hi," he says, and his heartbeat is a little off, a little on edge. "This is kind of random, but I've seen you here before, and I guess I was kind of curious. I mean, we seem to be the only people who are still here at this time who, He glances behind him, lost for words. Peter looks as well. The dim restaurant thrums with life around them in spite of the ungodly hour. A couple laughs hysterically over the songs on the jukebox. A handful of girls fresh from the Hill's nearby nightclub huddle sleepily over their table, and drunks slur insults at each other in the corner. Isaac scrutinizes the last group from behind the bar, eyes half-lidded in case he needs to intervene. "Who aren't half asleep or heavily intoxicated?" Peter finishes. The guy smiles, and faint dimples press into his cheeks. "I guess I was gonna say people who've come out for some decent pre-dawn coffee. The other places open at this time serve pure trash. But that works too. I'm Styles, by the way," he adds. The coffee, in fact, was a special request of Peter's back when they bought this place. He hadn't cared enough to get involved in the minutiae of the menu changes during the takeover, but he can't stand for the thinly spiced water that passes for coffee elsewhere. Instead, he demanded the import of a full-bodied blend from Sumatra that actually tastes like it once had a former life as coffee beans. The werewolf hums, pleased, and cocks his head. "Peter." Styles leans against the wooden siding of the opposite booth. "Peter, what brings you here?" "Seems like as good a place as any to work," Peter replies evasively. To anyone else, this would probably seem odd. It's too loud here for most people to concentrate, and the lights radiate a touch too much crimson to make reading easy on the eye. Even so, it somehow always worked for Peter. Aside from the fact that the Hill family owns this diner, making it a convenient and relatively secure work and meeting place. Styles only nods soberly, as if it makes perfect sense. "What line of work are you in?" Peter's smile is sharp. "Finance." Styles blinks in surprise, as Peter's tone makes it clear that he's lying, or at least that there's more to the story. He doesn't call Peter on it, though, and his expression instead settles into one of amusement. Right on. He has a cute button nose, Peter decides, though he's immediately disconcerted by the idea. It's a string of words he's never thought about anyone before in his life. And you? I was told there were good curly fries here, Styles replies, shrugging one shoulder. And I was not disappointed. And I assume you're here studying? Peter asks, glancing at the backpack slung on Styles' shoulder. What subject? Styles pauses, and then he replies, Latin. It's not a lie, his brisk heartbeat doesn't stutter, but he says it in the same tone as Peter's, a tone that tells the werewolf this isn't the whole truth. A curious sense of intrigue washes over Peter, and he finds that he likes the wolfish smile on the boy's face. It's an odd feeling. He leans back to regard Styles in full. Styles, however, seems to take the movement as a sign of disinterest, or perhaps a dismissal, because his smile falters. His heart jumps to double time. So anyway, I'm sure you're probably busy and time is money and all that, especially for, like, finance guys. So you're probably wondering why I'm over here. And look, I never do this, and I know that's probably a cliche to even say that, but, I was wondering if I could give you my number? The request is so unexpected that Peter can't be sure what his face looks like. For a moment, he's not even sure he's understood correctly, in spite of his keen hearing, and it still takes him a moment to process the words. It's been ages since he's done anything besides impulsively jump into bed with anyone, he thinks, and he's certainly never saved their numbers in his phone. He frowns for so long that Styles takes a deep breath and adds in a rush. That way it's good for you because you can decide if you're into it and there's no pressure or anything, and it's good for me because if you don't reach out, I can just assume you're, like, in a happily committed relationship and it's not because I'm super weird or unattractive. Plus, it means you can set up the whole terms of communication however you want, you know? Because I'm good with anything. Call, text, if you want, I can FaceTime or email. You can send me a passenger pigeon or a dick pic for all I care. Peter blinks, and Styles freezes. His face looks just as surprised as Peter himself feels, and then it turns a charming shade of pink. You would never send me, not that I wouldn't appreciate it, but because you look like you're probably packing. Oh my god, this is not how I pictured this going at all. His hands have come up to his forehead, and he studiously refuses to look Peter in the eye. Amusement pools deep in Peter's chest. Jesus H. Christ, I'm just gonna... He jerks his thumb toward the door. So sorry, really, enjoy your night. He turns to go, and even his ears are flush pink. It's strangely endearing. Peter stares after him for a beat, finally surprising himself by calling out, I was promised a number. Am I going to get it or not? Styles turns back to him slowly. His eyebrows have climbed up his forehead, and he's fidgeting with the sleeves of his hoodie. You actually want it? Still? He looks perplexed, but when Peter gives no indication that he's kidding, the corner of his lips slowly quirk upward. What's wrong with you? Peter's eyes flit to the ceiling as he pulls out his phone. I suppose you'll have to find out. Oh. Styles blinks, still looking a little wary, as if Peter might only be playing a trick. Okay, cool. At last, he gingerly takes the proffered phone, typing out his name and number on the screen. Especially because I like this place, and it would have sucked to have to find some other 24-hour joint. The werewolf grunts. It grows on you, doesn't it? Styles laughs. Yeah, weirdly enough, it's homey. He hands the phone back, pauses, then offers another half shrug. He smiles again, and it's not quite as uncertain this time. I guess I'll see you around? Not if I see you first, Peter counters easily. From anyone else, it might be just a bad line, but the Hale family has eyes and ears all over town. He'll certainly be asking someone to let him know how the human in front of him is doing. Styles seems to guess once more that there's some subtle undercurrent to his words, but there's no wariness on his face. He only quirks a brow as he heads for the door. Maybe we'll see, he replies, and for the first time there's something in his expression that might even be called dangerous, at least before it slips away beneath Styles' smile. Good night, Peter. Good night, Styles, Peter returns. He stares at Styles' retreating back through the neon sign at the door until the human fades into the dark space between the streetlights outside.